All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of Canucks Conversation. Folks, it's heating up. The hot stove is heating up. The NHL trade deadline is just under 24 hours away as we're coming to you at 2 p.m. live on the Canucks Army Twitter account, the Instagram account, and of course, the YouTube channel, which is where you can interact with us live in the YouTube live chat. My name is Dave Quattrelli. That is Harmon Dial. Our technical producer is Grady Sass. And this is Canucks Conversation, which I have to tell you is brought to you by the 2023 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. Harmon, coming to us from a hotel room in Las Vegas, and we thought we were going to have a similar thing to when you were in Nashville that one time where you just got progressively darker and darker as the show went on until we couldn't see you at all, but we appear to have avoided that as we got you to sit by a little bedside lamp there, and it's looking like you got a nice hotel room there.
Yeah, it is a nice hotel room. I really wanted to avoid another Nashville situation because honestly, watching the video back from that day is so funny. It's really pitch black. And yeah, definitely wanted to avoid that this time.
Oh, it was a great, it's my favorite story of yours on the road, except for the one in New York when someone walked into your hotel room while you were sleeping. Absolutely terrifying. I don't think I could ever come back from that. So kudos to you for still going out on the road and locking your doors. And I'm sure people have heard that story, so we will spare them the details, but I think I gave the most of the details they would need to know. Harm, lots of trades going on right now. Six more trades at the time of this recording on March 7th. On Thursday, we see six more trades in the National Hockey League. Trade deadline came a little bit early, it feels like. There were a lot of trades yesterday on March 6th. PJ and I broke most of those down. So we haven't really got your thoughts yet, but let's start in division because we saw a lot of movement. Obviously, the Oilers making their big move with Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick going to Edmonton. They go out and get Troy Stetcher as well today. The Vegas Golden Knights getting Noah Hanifin. Obviously, we know about all the LTIR stuff that Vegas is pulling. And look, we know they're going to do it. We knew they were going to do it. It's happening. I don't want to rehash the discourse. Maybe in anyone else. If people want to get there, anyone else is in about Vegas and LTIR, we'll talk about it then. But I don't want to talk about that specifically. I want to talk about the trades that we've seen in division. Those are the moves that we're going to focus on first. Edmonton and Vegas.
Yes, so let's start with the good news. I don't think Edmonton took a huge step forward. Like, yeah, Henrique's a good player. He's going to shore up their middle six, whether he's playing on the wing or in the third line center position. But if you're giving up a first round pick, not that it's a significant overpayment, but just relative to some of the other middle or top six options that they could have targeted, I'm not necessarily like, I don't think Henrique is a massive needle mover. It's not like they went big fish hunting. And for a while, I was thinking that they might add a Jake Gensel or on the blue line that they might add a Chris Tanev. So they've clearly sort of come a tier below in terms of the type of player that they acquired, which I think is good news for the Canucks. Vegas, on the other hand, is going to be a problem if they get healthy. And that's the other thing to keep in mind is they continue slumping. And I know Jack Eichel only recently got back, but obviously, Stone's out right now. Martinez has been out. Hanifin's going to make their blue line when it's healthy really, really lethal. I mean, from 1 to 6, that blue line last year was arguably the best in the NHL. It's not like you look at them and go, oh, they have a bunch of Norris Trophy defensemen, but it's just the depth of it. Like to have McNabb, Theodore as your second pair, and then have Haig, Whitecloud as the third pair. You know, Vegas probably had the best second pair in the NHL and the best third pair in the NHL last year. Now you add a piece like Noah Hanifin. It's just an embarrassment of riches on the back end. And then Mantha as well. I mean, the forward group is basically the same as last year in terms of the top nine, except because they moved out Riley Smith, they were looking for another middle six body. Now, Mantha's a different type of player than Smith because Riley Smith is more of a reliable two-way type winger, can play in a checking line role, whereas Mantha's a bit more one-dimensional. He's a scorer. He's got speed. He's got the shot. And he's inconsistent, but he's put up 20 goals this year already. So Vegas is going to be a bit of a problem if they get healthy.
Harm, I wanted to ask you this about Vegas, and I have the answer because I had to look it up. But I was trying to think about Vegas and just the way they've built, like they've taken such an unconventional route to team building. Like they haven't built anything through the draft. They've built value to go make trades through the draft, but that's about it. I was curious. I was going to ask you this question, but I'm not going to put you on the spot because I have the answer now. I went and looked. The most successful pick that Vegas has ever made in the draft.
Nick Suzuki.
It's Nick Suzuki. And I know you knew you would know what else, but it's Nick Suzuki, right? And then it's like Cody Glass. But the point is, none of these players, and Peyton Krebs, obviously, as well. The point is, none of these players play for Vegas. Like, Vegas isn't great because their draft picks have hit so well. Nick Haig, Grady bringing him up in our little private chat here. Nick Haig as well. These guys aren't really, like, big difference makers for them. It's just that they've managed to build by flipping assets in a timely manner. Like Vegas doesn't really wait around. And I mean, they've been pretty ruthless in the way they do their business. You look at the Nate Schmidt situation where, you know, he didn't think he was going to get moved and he gets traded pretty unexpectedly, but that's just Vegas saying, yeah, this is the best thing for us. And hey, like, I know they're like the most hated team in the NHL now. And for good reason, I get it. And all the LTIR shenanigans. But I was looking at their draft history and I was thinking like, who is their most successful pick? And yes, it is Nick Suzuki.
Well, they're always in YOLO mode. Honestly, it's just like, we're going to chase the big star and then deal with it later. And then that's what happens when they trade like Fleury for almost nothing, Pacioretty for almost nothing, Schmidt for almost nothing. They're just like, oh, we'll deal with it in the summer type thing as far as the cap ramifications. And that's the same thing when they added Barbashev, right? It's like, okay, we're exceeding the cap now. And then Barbashev's a great fit. Okay, well, we'll just figure it out. We're going to trade Smith away. They're ruthless about that. And even the individual trades they've made, like Mark Stone for a second round pick and Eric Brandstrom, considering they also got him on a long-term extension, that's one of the biggest steals of a trade that we've seen in the NHL in the past handful of years. Even the Hanifin trade now, considering that he's probably going to sign an extension there, they gave up a first round pick, a prospect essentially. Like that's the meat of the package. And remember that before they made the Mantha trade and the Hanifin trade, they somehow had all of their draft picks in the first three rounds for the next 3 years, right? That's the other part of it, is typically when a team goes all in, they reach a point like Tampa Bay has this year's deadline, or Florida, where they just don't have a lot of first and second round picks. But Vegas somehow had all their picks, and that's why they're like, okay, well, we got Stone on LTIR now. We've got the cap space, and we have the trade chips. Now we can continue to go in. And the other thing to keep in mind with Vegas now is I think they're almost, with these moves, kind of retooling on the fly and getting younger. And what I mean by that is you bring in Barbashev. He's around 28 or 29 years old. He's a few years younger than Riley Smith. So in a way, it's not just, hey, you added Barbashev for the playoff run, but it allows your forward group now moving forward to be a younger group. Same thing on the back end. Alec Martinez is around 35. He's declined this year. He's going to be a UFA. Makes in and around $5 million. They're probably going to let him walk. Jonathan Marchessault has had a terrific year, but he's 33. Are they really going to step up to the plate and give him a big contract that he's probably going to be looking for in free agency? My guess is probably not. And that's what's interesting to me with these moves, is they're also finding a way to get younger.
That's the thing. They haven't crushed. I don't want to say they haven't crushed any drafts. They haven't needed the draft. What they did need is an expansion draft that they absolutely crushed. And they're still like, and I mean, look, the expansion draft was years ago, so you give them some slack, but like, they're just still operating at such a high level. Like, since that expansion draft, they just haven't taken any sort of step back. And it's impressive at this point. Like, it's impressive. It is. It's absolutely impressive when it comes to asset management and the way they've been able to, you know, like you said, just move off of stuff and replenish it. And then when they say, yeah, we'll deal with it in the offseason, they deal with it, and they deal with it in like the best possible way, evidently, as Vegas is still right there in cup contention mode. Now, this is the thing that I look at when I look at these two trades, Harm, is that the Oilers and Vegas are both, I don't say they've made their moves, because I still think Vegas might go out and get someone like Jake Guentzel. Like, I think Vegas still may well be involved in that trade. But I'm looking at it and saying, okay, this is even more motivation for the Canucks to win the West and make sure that they don't, you know, they don't have to face one of these guys until the second round of the playoffs.
Definitely. But yeah, I mean, you want Nashville, right? That's the only, I think, favorable matchup where you're like, thank goodness we got this team. Because whether it's Vegas slipping into a wild card spot, or LA being there, even if you win the division and you're second in the West, you may still end up playing Vegas or LA, which is going to be a tough playoff series. But you know what? This is kind of the state of the Pacific Division. It's, I would argue, one of the best divisions in hockey right now. You're going to have to go through it. And look, I'd prefer that it was a 1-8 conference format. And that's not just because it's harming the Canucks right now. I felt that for a long time. And this is just the reality you kind of have to deal with. It's what Toronto dealt with so many years, where they'd finish pretty high in the conference, but then every year in the first round, it's Boston or it's Tampa, and it would be frustrating. This is something that they're going to have to manage, but it's worth mentioning as well. Look at how much better Colorado got, right? An out of division team. Like, the West really struck here to make some big moves. And even Dallas, right? Another Western Conference contender. They didn't even necessarily have to make a move. Look at Logan Stankoven. He's been an absolute stud. He's probably the most, arguably so far, based off a small sample, impactful player that any team has added since his recall. And they didn't even have to trade anything to get him. They just called him up. I think last I checked, he had 5 goals and 8 points in 6 games. Like, that's a hell of an add to make too, in addition to Chris Tanev on the blue line for them.
Man, we had to bring up Logan Stankoven. We had to bring him up. And of course, that means we have to bring up Danilo Klimovich, who the Canucks chose to select and left Logan Stankoven on the board. Okay, Harm. This is another one that's of interest to Canucks fan. Brandon Duhaime goes to Colorado for a third round pick. I look at that and say, okay, we knew the Canucks were in on Duhaime. They really like Brandon Duhaime. I feel like this one probably just came down to acquisition costs, and the Canucks were like, you know what? We probably need someone who we know is going to play in our top six more than we do at Brandon Duhaime.
Absolutely. I'm not losing sleep about that, considering the price Colorado paid. The Avs are in a spot right now where they've really started to rebuild their forward group. I mean, that's a team that I look at and go, they've had a hell of a deadline so far, because Bowen Byram, he's a high upside piece, but he was having a down year, and there's obviously uncertainty with the injury risk. They're already deep on the blue line, so they're like, you know what, let's take an area of strength and replenish our second line center position. I didn't think that they'd be able to tackle and find a bona fide 2C at the deadline, but they get Mittelstadt, who has been Buffalo's best forward this year. He brings a lot of secondary scoring. I also like Trennan, who they got from Nashville as well. Another big body. Like, he's just a playoff type winger, big bodied forecheck, little physical, little mean. I really like how much they've deepened their forward group, and then bringing Sean Walker in as well to get off the Johansson contract moving forward. Plus to make sure that, okay, you've lost Byram. Now our blue line's not going to take too much of a step back. I think the Avs have had a genius deadline.
We also Anthony Beauvillier get moved again. Anthony Beauvillier going to the Nashville Predators for a fifth round pick. It was originally reported it was a fourth round pick, but I'm reading out it was a fifth. Makes it a little easier to swallow for a Canucks fan because, of course, the Canucks traded Beauvillier for a fifth round pick earlier this season. Okay, to get your anyone else's in, folks. We got a lot of people in the YouTube live chat. Grady's going to be keeping us up to tabs on what's going on in the Twitter chats and the Facebook chats. But Harm, did you have anything else before the deadline? Anything you want to talk about all these trades that we've seen in the National Hockey League?
Not trade-wise, no.
Okay, then you know what? I'm going to tell you that this segment, I should have told you earlier, was brought to you by Park Casino. Park is the official casino resort of the Vancouver Canucks, and Sakaris and Price will be live on location doing a show inside BC Kitchen before Vancouver takes on, you guessed it, Colorado on March 13th. Come grab a bite, watch Sakaris and Price, and take home some of the on-site prizes. On days the Canucks play, you can receive 15% off the game day menu with your game ticket at BC Kitchen. Park is just steps away from Rogers Arena, and when you sign up for Encore Rewards, you get $10 free play to use in the Canucks Gaming Corner. Whether it's a game day or just a night out with friends, let Park be your place to play. All right, Harm, Vancouver takes on those Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas Golden Cheaters was the most clever thing I could come up with, but they're not really cheating with the LTR thing. Like, it is available to everybody, and I know this isn't what hockey fans want to hear. This is available to everybody, but I also understand from a Canucks fan's perspective where you get punished for the Luongo recapture penalty and all that retroactively. Yeah, I understand why Canucks fans are maybe a little bit upset about this.
Well, the hilarious thing is they still have $3.8 million in cap space even after all their moves. Like, they still have so much flexibility left because they acquired Hanifin at 75%, a double retained, which is pretty ludicrous. But I mean, don't hate the player, hit the game,
exactly.
Right? Like, that's
not against the rules.
Legal. Tampa's done it in the past with Kucherov. The other thing to keep in mind is it's not like he got a little bump and bruise and said, all right, I'm taking a vacation till the playoffs. It's a lacerated spleen, so it's a legit injury. And you have to also remember that 2 years ago, Stone got injured through the second half of the season. Vegas missed the playoffs, right? So they've had it happen both ways where, okay, last year it helped them win the cup. The whole LTIR stuff. The year before that, it caused a team that had acquired Jack Eichel and had cup expectations to entirely miss the playoffs. Now, I do understand if Stone comes back game one, round one, they're like, okay, this is suspicious timing for it to happen again and again and again, right? Like, why not game 79 of the regular season? Or why not? How is it not like game four of round one or sometime around two? It's always game one, round one. So I do agree with that point being a little fishy, but it's in the rules. I mean, maybe there are ways you look at the league to try and amend it, but other teams have done it in the past, and I have nothing but respect for how Vegas continues operating. I mean, yeah, you can hate them all you want, but it clearly works.
Yeah, you're a smart management group. This is how other teams felt about the Canucks in 2011, folks. Like, this is how other teams felt about the Vancouver Canucks. And also, it's not just us. Speaking of the 2011 Canucks, Roberto Luongo, I'm not sure if you saw this, he tweeted out the gif of Kevin Nash stepping out of the wheelchair with his fake cast on and jumping out. And Luongo's caption was game one of the playoffs. And yeah, that's coming from someone who works in an NHL front office right now. So it's not just us that are talking about this.
But also, yeah. I also wanted to say, like, if teams genuinely feel like it's that big of a problem, they can bring it to the league and all these board of governor meetings, and they can push to try and make change. We haven't seen enough of that push yet. Maybe if Vegas does this again and they continue having playoff success, maybe that's the impetus for some change. But it's going to take some pressure from the teams, because clearly the league at this point doesn't have an issue with it yet.
Yeah, nothing yet. I wonder if this is kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, I wonder if this is it, right? Do you know what I mean? I just wonder if this year, because you just said it too, like, why game one? And we know the answer of why game one. Like, we know the answer of why game one. But we'll see what happens to Mark Stone. We'll see how it all transpires. And again, Alec Martinez also might go on LTIR. We saw Frank talking about that as well. Okay, but for the Canucks tonight, they're going for their third straight win, Harm. This has been a successful road trip for them. They've played some really, really solid hockey. You've been on the road with them, and we didn't even talk about it in that first segment. We meant to, but you caught up with Elias Lindholm today. Elias Lindholm's obviously been the subject of some trade rumors and everything out here in Vancouver. What was your conversation with Elias Lindholm today?
Yeah, I just get the sense. I asked him about his overall transition so far on the ice, off the ice, the trade rumors, and just the sense that I get overall right now is that he's feeling the heat. He's feeling the pressure. I don't think he feels comfortable yet. He admitted in pretty decisive terms that, hey, I need to be better. And you do see that internal sort of pressure on himself as well. Also say this, both him and the entire team is aware of the rumors of him being back on the block. I mean, at one point, the second question I asked Lindholm was, what's the biggest challenge of being traded in the transition to Vancouver that media and fans may overlook or not fully understand? And a player who overheard the question from a stall next over piped in and said, starting rumors with a laugh. So I thought that was pretty funny, but Lindholm wasn't really sure what to sort of say or make about the rumors. His reaction sort of amounted to, I'm here and we'll see. One big takeaway for me is I'm hoping that things can get a lot better past the deadline for a couple of reasons, not just the peace of mind of, okay, that's dealt with and you know for sure whether you're in Vancouver or not, but also just the family aspect. He told me that one difficult part of this transition is that he didn't see his family for nearly a month. He was living out of a hotel in Vancouver. He's got a young son that was born last year. They just got to Vancouver recently, so I think he's pretty excited to be able to get back home, settle into his new place, see his family, start feeling more comfortable in that way. And then on the ice, I had a chat with him about some of the adjustments. And one thing that he pointed out about Vancouver's system is that it's a lot more free than Calgary in terms of you're free to chase hits. You're free to make plays. You're free to skate. Whereas I think Calgary was very strict, very like follow the style. And you can think about, you know, before this season, what it's like playing Daryl Sutter hockey, right? So I think that's been a notable change. And I think playing wing, he sort of brought up that he was overthinking it a little bit too much, because when you're a winger, your job is to get in on the forecheck a lot more. You don't have as many puck touches, and it's just be a missile, be disruptive. Whereas center, it's a lot more sound positionally. You're trying to stay above the puck, and Lindholm is more a cerebral player than he is a player that skates and moves around like he's been shot out of a cannon. So I still think he's trying to find the right comfort, the right fit, and I'm hoping that once we get past, able to settle in a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what we heard from Jim Rutherford yesterday as well. And again, we broke that down yesterday with Patrick Johnson. We will see. We will see what happened. And Smiley hello in the YouTube live chat says, Elliot Friedman reported that Toffoli has been traded to Seattle. And I said, sorry, it's a dummy tweet. Man, those things used to really be really, really common. I haven't been duped in a while. But again, when Twitter first made that transition where anybody could get a blue check mark, oh, that was like Mr. Booth's the best day of his life. And I got to say, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what actually comes out. But no, Toffoli has not been traded to Seattle. What is happening with Toffoli, and we saw this from Irfan Gafar. And again, we'll still talk about Vancouver Vegas here. But we saw this from our friend Irfan Gafar reporting that Tyler Toffoli will be held out tonight of New Jersey's game for trade-related reasons. You wonder if the Canucks are going to be on in that. And hey, we've heard a lot over the past 24 hours, different rumors, speculation that the Canucks don't think they can match the Penguins' price for Jake Guentzel, and that they're going to be transitioning to Tyler Toffoli and moving their focus to Tyler Toffoli. So we'll see how it is. I'd love Tyler Toffoli, honestly, and especially if the price is as high as it seems to get Guentzel out of Pittsburgh. I think you're fine going out and getting Tyler Toffoli. Because, Harm, the way I look at this is also, like, you just mentioned Elias Lindholm hasn't really had a chance to settle in. If the guy that you originally acquired turns out to be somebody who can play with Elias Pettersson, or he turns out to be someone that can play center and he can do it really well and he can give you, you know, some real offensive output from third line center. If that happens and you go out and get Tyler Toffoli, like, you've gone out to get yourself the, you know, the plan B, because Elias Lindholm hasn't worked out to this point. But if your plan A, Elias Lindholm, works out and you have Tyler Toffoli, I don't think you're upset about that. I think you're very, very happy that that's what ended up happening. And again, I just think even if Lindholm doesn't figure it out, you are going to want to go get Toffoli, because Pettersson still needs that winger. And I think Toffoli is somebody that can play that role for the Canucks.
Yeah, put it this way. They're a completely healthy top six, and they have Ilya Mikheyev and Pia Suter in there right now. And Mikheyev hasn't scored in over 30 games. Suter hasn't scored since the All-Star break. It'd be a great opportunity if they can find a guy, bump those guys further down the lineup, and just build your depth, because imagine how much thinner it gets if they lose just one top six forward, whether it's down the stretch or into the playoffs, which it always seems like it happens for these teams. With Toffoli specifically, I remember the first time this was brought up by somebody and anyone else, and my initial reaction was sort of wondering if his, you know, lack of foot speed and him being more of a complementary player than a top six play driver was the ideal stylistic fit, because I think the perfect dream fit would be a player that can drive play and create chances on their own. But if you are committing to, like, the thought process then was, okay, we're assuming that they're going to stick with Lindholm at wing, which now it's different. Now it's Lindholm seems to be a player that Tocchet likes a lot more at center. And if you're doing that, then at that point, I'm not as worried about, okay, you're a little slow on the wings, or that you have too many complementary pieces, because that's kind of what Pettersson needs right now. So I'm starting to warm up to the idea of Toffoli. It's just acquisition cost, right? And if it's not Toffoli, for the right price, I wouldn't mind a Jason Zucker. Now, Zucker's interesting to me because you watched him last year and he was unbelievable. He scored 27 goals on a second line with Evgeny Malkin. He was fast. He won battles. He was tenacious. He created chances on his own. He made Malkin so much better. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Malkin's game has fallen off without Zucker this year. Now, the caveat with Zucker is that he has been injury prone in the past, and that he has taken a bit of a step back this year. I think he's producing at around a half a point per game clip. But that's also why you're going to get him cheaper, right? If Zucker was producing at the same rate that he was last year, then the price for him would be a lot higher. And so from a bang for buck perspective, I think Zucker could be interesting. And of course, Rutherford's going to be familiar with him. He, I believe, originally acquired Zucker from Minnesota. So that's a name that I'm keeping an eye on as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting name to keep an eye on. And again, you brought it up. The Penguins connection, right? There's always that Penguins connection if you look hard enough. Okay, anything else you wanted to get to about the game tonight? Obviously, Thatcher Demko starts in goal. We know that from Morning Skate. I think it was Murph that tweeted out, same lines tonight. I'm really interested to see how Carson Soucy does. I thought he was phenomenal in his first game back, and I'm just curious if he's going to continue to provide that steadying force. Another thing I'm looking for is if the Canucks are going to be involved in another game that is the opposite of a track meet, because they got into a lot of track meets early in the year. They got into a lot of high scoring games very early in the year. And yes, they were coming out on top of those games, but JT Miller talked about this on this road trip about how they've started to manage to win these low scoring games. And I think that's something that they're going to need to learn to do when it comes to playing in the playoffs, right? This mistake-free hockey that they have to play. Like, look, you look at that LA game, the one goal LA scored came off of a pretty bad series of mistakes from the Canucks. I broke it down yesterday. I'm not going to do it again. But, you know, like, from that point on, the Kings were waiting for the Canucks to make a mistake, and it just never came. Like, if the Canucks made a mistake, it was quickly covered up, which is exactly what Rick Tocchet wants to see his team do. So I'm curious how they do, how they stack up against a team that's going to be somebody that they could very, very well meet in the playoffs tonight. Anything that you have before we move on here?
Yeah, what you touched on there was a sign of maturity in that LA game. It is going to be interesting to see, because when Vegas is at its best, we know how unbelievably stingy they are defensively. They just pack the slot. They don't give you anything other than looks from the outside. But they've dropped five of their last six games, and they've been lit up a lot defensively. So I wonder if we get a looser Vegas team, or maybe now that they've made some moves and they got Mantha, especially drawing into the lineup tonight, that maybe that gives them a bit of a spark. But they haven't been very good defensively lately. So this might be an opportunity for the Canucks to break through offensively after a couple of low-scoring wins, and you'll take those as well. But over this stretch as a whole since the All-Star break, I think it has been a little bit of a struggle to turn possession time into high-danger chances. And you hope that this is an opportunity for guys to maybe break through a little bit. Elias Pettersson, for instance, broke through in that LA game with the beauty goal that he scored. Can he follow that up? Is that an opportunity for him to build some confidence, maybe a little bit less pressure on him now that, you know, obviously the extension's done with? I'm hoping that guys like Pettersson and Lindholm can use Vegas sort of slipping defensively as an opportunity to maybe get going offensively.
Yeah, we'll see. And that's a great time to segue into our Light the Lamp contest, brought to you by Four Winds Brewing. Vancouver is playing Vegas tonight, and we want to know who's going to score the first goal for Vancouver. If you nail it, you could win a $25 gift card to the Four Winds Tap Room, located at 72nd and River Road in Delta. Enter by following us on social media, keep an eye out for today's show clip, and comment who you think will light the lamp and score the first goal tonight. Winners will be contacted directly. Check us out at Canucks Army or at Canucks Convo on Twitter, at CanucksArmy.com on Instagram, and Canucks Army on Facebook. And make sure you ask about Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store, or have some delivered to your front door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. I am going with Vasily Podkolzin, who was recalled today. We broke it down yesterday, Harm, but it was just a paper transaction. Canucks just wanted him to be eligible for the Calder Cup playoffs. He did not play in Abbotsford's game last night. You can go read that recap over at CanucksArmy.com. But I'm going with Vasily Podkolzin. I think Vasily Podkolzin has looked good in the two NHL games he's played so far this year. I think he's going to score tonight. I'm going with Vasily Podkolzin.
I feel like I spam too many of Vancouver's top players in picking this, so I want to go off the board, have a little bit of a hot take. I'm going to go with Carson Soucy. I thought he was phenomenal in his first game back against LA, and he's got a rocket of a shot, so I'm going to go with him.
Gnar in the YouTube live chat saying, do we win double the prize if we pick Mikheyev to score correctly? We'll see, Gnar. We'll see. If you pick
more than double.
Yeah, yeah,
like quadruple.
Exactly. Yeah, quadruple, exactly. Okay, let's get to Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube.
Yeah, so I know the LA game was a couple of days ago, but I just wanted to give the coaching staff some credit for finding a way to solve LA's 1-3-1 neutral zone forecheck in that game, which is going to be huge going into the playoffs, because you're going to run into teams that don't give you a lot of time and space. And it's, how are you going to adapt? And one thing that I noticed in that game against LA was the Canucks started experimenting with some set breakouts where they said, look, one of the weaknesses of the 1-3-1 forecheck is that the forwards have to sit back from LA's perspective. They're not going to be able to apply a lot of up ice pressure. They're basically giving you a free zone exit. And so Rick Tocchet said that he spent a day at practice sort of working on some set breakouts where the Canucks would almost, they'd have Hughes or Hronek sort of just holding onto the puck, and then they'd have their wingers sort of reload almost like a power play entry to generate some speed underneath. And then they'd hit like a JT Miller in stride and then chip and chase that way, trying to take advantage of the fact that the forwards are sitting back and that all five LA players are going to be flat footed. So if we can generate some speed underneath, then we can recover pucks on the forecheck, get established. I think that's one of the main reasons that they dominated on the forecheck and overall offensive zone time against LA, as well as in the second period. It was one of two scenarios. Either we can make a quick up pass to catch LA in transition before they can get the 1-3-1 established, or if they do have the 1-3-1, then we can turn to the set breakout, especially when the Miller line was on the ice or the Quinn Hughes pair was on the ice. I thought that was a terrific adjustment by Vancouver's coaching staff.
That's wonderful. And I mean, hey, it bodes well for the playoffs, right? Like you just said it, there's going to be limited space in playoffs and teams are going to be implementing strategies like that, especially if you face LA in the playoffs. And again, we talked about this yesterday, so I won't repeat it for people that have heard it, but you haven't heard it. But like LA's been doing this all year and they have to do that. Look at their goaltending. And I mean, I know the goaltender's raw numbers are great, but like Cam Talbot's getting up there in age, okay? They need to do this to be successful with the goaltenders that they have. They've been doing it all year. It's just very, very boring to watch.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That was Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube, the pioneer of the no appointment warranty approved oil change, now providing appointment free tire service and sales. Find them at one of their 16 locations across the Lower Mainland. To find your nearest location, visit them online at mrlube.com. Harm, I'm doing Under the Hood tomorrow. I have to cover for you. And I'm excited. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. But we'll be live at 3 p.m. tomorrow, folks, for a very special trade deadline edition of Canucks Convo. Maybe two. Honestly, like, I'm looking. The Canucks just sent out their media email. I know this is a little inside baseball for folks. But Patrick Alvin's going to do his press conference right after the deadline. They said after the deadline. I was thinking like 1 p.m., but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow. It might be a 2 p.m. show. We'll see. But regardless, Patrick Johnson will be joining me. What's your travel plan tomorrow, Harm?
I'm taking a midday flight. There were only two direct flights from Vegas. One of them was 6:30. And considering I'm covering the game and it's an international flight, I talked to my manager and yeah, it's a midday. I wish I could have taken like an 8 or 9 a.m. flight and, you know, been in Vancouver in time, but just the direct flight options, weren't there. It feels like I felt like Taylor Swift trying to figure out a way to get into Vegas for the Super Bowl after her concert in Japan, figuring out all the travel logistics. I'm like, oh, how do I get back in time for trade deadline?
Well, I'm pretty sure she doesn't have to go through customs when she takes her private jet, but I digress. Okay, let's get to anyone else. I got this, Harm. Presented by DoorDash. It's our listener's chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listener's chance to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. That's all capital letters, NATION, and the numbers 25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms, of course, do apply. One day away from the trade deadline. Let's get some heater trade proposals in the YouTube live chat. Harm, you weren't here when we talked to Frank yesterday, but Frank was thinking that it seems like Sidney Crosby is going to sign an extension on July 1st to basically finish out his career in Pittsburgh. But Frank did say that there's a chance that doesn't happen. Or maybe I said that based on what Frank said, but there's a chance. And I haven't sent my letter yet. People are wondering. They're like, Quads, what's with the open letter? It isn't done yet. One day when there's a really slow news day on Canucks Convo, I'll read out my open letter to Sidney Crosby. I'll read it out on the show. I'll read it out. I'll write something. Okay. Yeah, okay, so Karan, I learned how to pronounce his name, Karanversation in the YouTube live chat. He asked when the deadline ends. 12 p.m. Pacific, but there's some stragglers typically. And look, the first one that comes to my mind, Harm, Eric Branson, the trade that sent him to Pittsburgh, a trade that Jim Rutherford was a part of that sent Tanner Pearson back to Vancouver. That one came down at like 12:20, if memory serves. So yeah, it is at 12, but some trades kind of get processed afterwards. But we'll see. We'll see exactly when the Canucks speak, when they make their final deal. Someone asked about Phil Kessel. It does look like Phil Kessel is going to sign. I think Chris Johnson reported this today that they're on track to sign Phil Kessel. I know yesterday people were giving PJ crap. I threw PJ under the bus because he was saying that, yeah, Phil Kessel probably feels like the plan B or plan C if this team can't get Gensel or they can't do this, can't do that. And then I said, yes or no, does he sign? And PJ said, I'm going to guess no, he doesn't sign based on the information that PJ had. And then this report comes out and everyone's like, PJ's wrong. PJ's making stuff up. It's like, no, I asked PJ to give me a yes or no answer. I asked him to. I asked him to guess. He didn't. He wasn't coming out here. Anyways, we'll move on. Grady, you're muted. Is your nose still bleeding?
No, we're good now.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a nosebleed earlier, folks. So that's why I haven't been on. No, just following up with that PJ thing, he had a conversation with Jim Rutherford and he was kind of laying it out like, if they can't accomplish XYZ, then they would resort to Kessel. Now, yeah. I think it depends on this, you know, what type of move are they actually going to do? If there was a Gensel and a bottom six guy, then you probably wouldn't need Phil Kessel. If it's more of a Toffoli, you know, Zucker, bottom six guy, is there still room? I think that's remains to be seen. But, you know, he hasn't played in Abbotsford yet, and maybe that's by design. But like you mentioned, Quad, you were asking like a quick yes, no answer. So
everyone, yeah, exactly.
Cool it.
It was in anyone else. It was in anyone else. People want the quick answers. Okay, here's one. Cody's
just always stirring up.
That's right. In the YouTube live chat, Cody, because you made the Taylor Swift comparison, Harmon taking a flight from the hotel room to the arena later tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a flight, a helicopter, actually. I'm going up to the rooftop. They're picking me up straight from the pool and dropping me off right at T-Mobile.
That's right. That's right. Nothing but the best. Nothing but the best here at Canucks Conversation. Okay. Yeah, we've got some heater trade proposals. I asked for it. All right. A second, Archer Seelovs and Jacob Truscott for Toffoli. No, I don't think that will get it done, but someone else brought up the idea of Seelovs being used as a trade chip. Ian Clark really likes this guy. Ian Clark also really likes Nikita Tolopilo. I don't know if the Canucks would move Seelovs. I also just don't know how much value a guy like Seelovs would have. But hey, if New Jersey asks, maybe it takes down the pick. Like if it's actually a guy New Jersey wants, I just don't think the Canucks will be offering up Seelovs in a trade, if that makes sense. But if the logic is New Jersey asks for a goalie, New Jersey wants a young goalie, they want to take a flyer on Seelovs, then maybe if you're the Canucks, if you know they want him, you can kind of leverage it a little bit to your favor. But no, I don't think the Canucks are out there shopping Seelovs or anything like that. Okay, this one. Yeah, okay. This one from MMA Sucka. That's a great name. Talking to Foley or Gensel, do you worry if those guys don't get signed? If someone from the top six gets injured, what happens in the playoffs then? Bit of a loaded question. I don't worry too much if the guys don't get signed. Again, I know you don't want to go all out for rentals, but I also think the Canucks have so much cap space this offseason that if it comes down to, okay, we want to get this guy signed, but then there's a free agent or there's another piece of business that we want to do and want to use our cap space there, I think that's fine. The way I kind of look at the Canucks offseason, Harm, is now that they have Elias Pettersson signed, they can kind of operate knowing what they can and can't do. So this idea that if they trade for Jake Gensel and don't get him re-signed, and I know this was thrown out with Lindholm and it was, you know, blasphemous. If they trade for Lindholm and don't get him signed, it's a failure. No, Elias Lindholm wants a lot of money. If they don't sign Elias Lindholm, it's not a failure. They have a bunch of cap space that they're going to be able to go do other stuff with. So again, I don't look at it and say I worry if they don't get Toffoli signed or they don't get Gensel signed. I like their chances of getting Toffoli signed a hell of a lot more than I do like their chances of getting Gensel signed. That's for sure.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't think, given the acquisition cost, that Gensel makes a ton of sense for them unless they're really confident they'd be able to get an extension done, because Pittsburgh is going to be asking about names like Hoglander, names like Willander, names like Lekkerimäki. So first of all, are you even willing to give up your top prospects or young players? It's also been widely reported that Dubas and the Penguins probably have a preference for prospects and young players rather than draft picks. Now, whether a team actually steps up to give those remains to be seen, but you know that those are the types of names that Dubas and the Penguins are going to be asking about. So it's first, are you even willing to give those pieces up? And then second, if you do go down that route, which I don't think the Canucks will, but if they did, then at that point, I'll be honest, I would be pretty disappointed if they acquired Gensel for that huge of a price and it was just a pure rental.
That's fair, actually. I don't that is fair. And I'll tell you what, the more I kind of talk about it and the more we hear about everything, I'm becoming increasingly okay with the Canucks going after Tyler Toffoli instead of Jake Gensel. I really like the idea of Tyler Toffoli back in Vancouver. Captain Canuck really didn't like the idea of Toffoli in Vancouver, but I think we've seen it work before. I think he's somebody that would fit with Rick Tocchet. Again, if the acquisition cost isn't too much, I'm okay with that. And I really like the idea of Tyler Toffoli coming back to Vancouver. Okay, a little bit of prospect news here. Jonathan Lekier-Mackey took home his team's SHL team's MVP award this year. Pretty cool for him. And then Elias Pettersson, 2.0 DPD. He's coming over to Abbotsford. That one from Dollywall, I believe, from the agent, of course. The agent saying that after his SHL season is over, I think he has two games left, he is going to be coming over and playing in Abbotsford. We expected that, but to hear it from the agent, you can basically now say it's almost official that Elias Pettersson will be coming over to play for Abbotsford. And man, I don't know if you've been keeping up with Abbotsford very much. They have been scuffling. They have had a lot of problems this year. It'll be nice for them to get someone like Elias Pettersson, who hopefully can help them. Like, I remember when Philip Johansson came over, it was like, oh, maybe Philip Johansson can play in Abbotsford and then he can go be the third pair guy for Vancouver. Don't think that's really fair. And I think you have to also really temper your expectations for Elias Pettersson, but I'd like to see Elias Pettersson play at least third pair minutes on Abbotsford and, you know, maybe top four, and maybe he's a difference maker there. You'd expect that that's a guy who's going to get all of next season to kind of, you know, season in Abbotsford. And that's what this management regime likes to do, right? They like to let their prospects season in Abbotsford, and that's important. So I'm excited for that, to see Elias Pettersson, get a look at him. We'll head down there, Harm. We'll make our little trip out to Abbotsford, hit up Castle Fun Park, and we'll have a good time checking on Elias Pettersson. Hey, maybe Jonathan Lekier-Mackey joins him at some point as well. Okay, Chad Jordan saying, why don't the Canucks push for Toffoli and Greenway? We talked about Duhaime. Duhaime's off the board now. Greenway is a little bit more expensive at $3 million. You'd have to get a little bit creative to fit him under the cap. I also just don't know at this point how much I like the idea of going out and getting Greenway. And I've always kind of looked at it and said, the Canucks would get a top six and a bottom six forward. I'm not sure what they're going to do at this point. I still think they're going to get a top six forward. Like, I think you kind of have to look at it and say, if you can get Gensel, you get Toffoli, Zucker, one of those guys. Like, I think one of those guys will be a Canuck by this time tomorrow. I don't know about going out and getting another bottom six winger. I especially don't know about Jordan Greenway.
Yeah, and especially because he's locked up for next season for $3 million. Let's say he's the type of player that you project on a third line, then does that all of a sudden mean you're not going to be able to afford or re-sign Dakota Joshua, right? Because that's the type of player that would play a similar role, PK, bigger body, reliable two-way piece. So I get it, right? Greenway is an interesting player, especially when he was in Minnesota. He was part of one of the best shutdown lines in the NHL, but he was also clearly the third wheel on that line with Erickson Ek and Marcus Foligno. He's a little too inconsistent for my liking. And for as much as he is a huge body and there are times when he's physical, he's inconsistent with that physicality. Like, I remember hearing a lot from his time in Minnesota where fans just wanted to see him just use his body as a physical menacing tool more often than he had been doing up until that point. So I'm personally not the biggest Greenway fan, and I don't love the fit, especially because I don't see him as an optimal fit as a guy who can like slide up the lineup and give you top 6 minutes either.
All right. Shout out to the 1,700 people watching us on Twitter right now on the Canucks Army Twitter account. Don't know why our Twitter views have all of a sudden shut up, but I'm in the chat now. So Harm, you're going to keep an eye. You and Grady keep an eye on the YouTube live chat. I'm in the Twitter chat. I want to get some anyone else's from the Twitter chat.
You know why the numbers are the way they are right now. Canucks Twitter, shout out Canucks Twitter. It's a beast of its own. They're looking for anything. They want all the coverage to fully hype. People are fired up, man. People are refreshing their feeds. So shout out Canucks Twitter. Well, Canucks X. That doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't. The same way. And we're not even going to try. We're not even going to try.
I still call it Twitter.
Yeah, it will always be Twitter. You can't take that from us, Elon.
This was a question, and Harm, I'll pose it to you. Luke Kunin or Kunin might be a gritty bottom six option. Cheap right shot, can play center and wing. Former first round pick, once scored 15 goals in 63 games. What do you think about him? And what? How do you? How the hell do you pronounce his name?
Kunin, I think it might be. It depends on what the acquisition cost is. If I'm having to pay a third round pick, I'm not doing it. If it's closer to, let's say, a fourth or fifth, I'd consider it. If it's about upgrading my upgrading the bottom six, especially because you can look at him as a player that, you know, maybe he starts in a fourth line role, but then can move up your lineup if injuries strike, because he has experience playing bigger minutes than just a fourth line capacity. I don't hate the idea, honestly.
Another thing that happened today, Carolina dumped everybody, or was it Vegas that dumped everybody? Someone dumped
Carolina dumped on waivers. Yeah. A bunch of guys.
Another player who was on waivers from Vegas was Tobias Bjornfot, who I once voted for the Lady Bing. He was once my fifth place Lady Bing vote when he had that season in LA. I thought he was great. And he had 70 games in that season, 6 penalty minutes. I gave him a Lady Bing vote. I threw him a fifth place vote. But
okay, let's be honest, Quads. You probably watched him like once, liked his name, and then noticed he had low penalty minutes, high draft pick, and you're like, this is the guy.
Vibes, baby. Look, I did think about it a little more and say the criteria for the Lady Bing, and I really, when I vote for the NHL awards now, I really, really try to pay really close attention to the criteria. And part of the criteria is playing at a high level. Don't think Tobias Bjornfot was playing at the highest level when I maybe made that vote. But anyways, I digress. He is on waivers, Harm, and I like the idea of the Canucks going out and getting him. Someone in the chat brought it up and said he's better than Mark Friedman.
Maybe, but he's also like, can you trust him defensively, right? Because LA waived him. Now he's on waivers again. And he's a younger player, so he doesn't have a lot of experience. So can you trust him in a playoff type environment? I'm not the biggest fan of the player. I'll say this. If I was a rebuilding team, I'd be like, sure, let me take a stab at it. But in Vancouver's situation right now, I also don't think that he's the type of defenseman that this coaching staff would value, because clearly there's an emphasis that, okay, we're going to stack our two best offensive defensemen, Hughes and Ronick, together. And then we want our bottom four to be as big, as mean, as defensively oriented as possible, right? That's why they went out and got Soucy, why they went out and got Zadorov. Bjornfot doesn't really fit that. So, and that's also why they worked with Juleson, worked really hard to develop him and have turned him into the player that he is. So yeah, I don't think it's the best fit for Vancouver.
Yeah. I wonder if it's, you know, Mike in the chat said he's better than Friedman. Yes and no. Like, he might be at one point, 'cause he has a lot of potential still at 22 years old. He's Swedish as well. I look at that and say, hey, there's something the Canucks man regime might like. But yeah, I do wonder about, you know, the player he is now and the player he can become. Look, I'll be honest. I'm just looking at it and saying, what could this guy become if he's under the guise of Sergei Gonchar and Adam Foote, right? Like, we've seen what they did with Noah Juleson. Again, different profile player, but I'm just looking at it and saying, man, there's some potential there. I wonder what he could become. But you're right. Maybe this is 2 years ago, or maybe even a year ago, you say this is a slam dunk for the Canucks. But at this point, maybe not.
He's also a left shot. They have too many left shot defensemen as it is. They're already playing a lefty on the right side. And do you want to lose another depth righty in Friedman potentially? Like, I agree that Bjornfot down the road could be a better player than Friedman, but stylistically, in terms of handedness, having a bit more experience, I think a bit more grit as well, I think they'd value Friedman over Bjornfot.
Pimpen Strong in the chat, YouTube live chat, said this. Apparently, Pavel Buchnevich's asking price is 2 first-round picks. Do you think Podkolzin, Ratu, and a 2025 first gets it done? I'm going to go ahead and say no, that does not get it done. I'm wondering what's going to happen with Buchnevich. I don't know if he gets moved. Like, I don't think he gets moved to this deadline. Maybe in the offseason, maybe. But St. Louis is still in it. Like, St. Louis is still trying to push for the playoffs. And I don't think that that's a player that they're going to just part with for nothing, right? Because it's not one of these situations where everybody knows they're not going to re-sign him. And it's like a Jake Guentzel where it's like, okay, well, you're going to move this player because you're not going to re-sign him. So What are you going to move him for? You've got to move him for something. St. Louis isn't in that position. St. Louis doesn't have to move Buchnevich. They really don't. I honestly don't think he's going to get moved. I definitely don't think he's getting moved at this deadline. And I'd be surprised, honestly, if he got moved in the offseason as well.
Well, that's another name that off the top of the show, when I was saying that I haven't necessarily loved Edmonton's deadline so far, I'd been wondering if Edmonton would be one of the teams that would make a serious run at Buchnevich, because they're looking for a right winger to be the sort of perfect fit with Drysdale. And I looked at Buchnevich and went, man, if Buchnevich joins that group, it's an unbelievably stacked top six. So, I am curious to see. The biggest question is whether they think they're going to re-sign him or not. Because if you're St. Louis, you already come to the conclusion that you're probably not going to re-sign him at the end of next season, then I would personally be in the camp of move him now, because he'll have extra value for teams, considering he'll be more than just a pure rental. But if they're open to the idea of him being part of the next core that St. Louis assembles through this retool, then they could very well decide to re-sign him too.
All right. I got a text from Frank Saravalli. So and it started with heads up. And the last time Frank gave me a heads up, it was that the Canucks were working on the Pettersson contract right before he tweeted it. But no, it was just telling me that he's off the show next week. He can't be on the show next week. So folks, you heard it here first. I was expecting some fireworks, and hey, leave it to the Canucks. The trade might get announced at 3 PM right when we go off air. But the Canucks play tonight, and we'll see. We'll be back tomorrow. PJ and I'll have trade deadline edition of the show. We will be breaking down that game. But Harm, did you have anything else that you wanted to get to before we wrap up anyone else and wrap up the show?
No, that's it. I felt like we covered some good ground.
Free Sid Crosby, said Drew Magus, and I couldn't have said it better myself. I had to read his head because I just read it. I thought it was Drew Magnus, and then I read it out loud, and I was like, is that one of those names? Like, did I just get Dollywalt? Did I just read a name that I shouldn't have read on air? But anyways, yeah, he said Free Sid Crosby, and I couldn't have said it any better myself. We'll close it out there, folks. For my co-host, Harmon Dowler, and our technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is Dave Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back, and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.